And coming your way next on Free Radio Santa Cruz, 101.3 FM, freakradio.org, it's that reliable old staple, Bathrobes Pierre's Broadsides with your old buddy, The Robe. That's me, Robert Norris. Be with you for 2 hours with updates from here and there around town, maybe some surprises. I'm going to try to do a few last-minute calls, see if we can pick up some reports from some of the regulars, and we'll see how that goes. And let's roll into the show.
I'm tired of moon songs, of star and of June songs. They simply make me nap. And ditties romantic drive me nearly frantic. I think they're all full of pap. History's making, nations are quaking. Why sing of stars above? For while we are waiting, Father Time's creating new things to be singing of. Sing me a song with social significance. All other tunes are taboo. I want a ditty with heat in it, appealing with feeling and meat in it. Sing me a song with social significance, or you can sing till you're blue. Let meaning shine from every line, or I won't love you.
And I'm getting a little tired of that theme song, although it also has a sort of a reassuringly familiar quality to it, as many theme songs for this show, which has been running since, 1995. A similar kind of nostalgia for similar theme songs in the past. But if anyone has any ideas about new theme songs they think that might better catch the spirit of this show, give me a call on the HUF, Homeless United for Friendship and Freedom line, which is the group I also work with, at 423-HUF, 423-4833. And I can look over the musical suggestion and maybe we'll incorporate it. A bit of bad news for the devoted listeners, or I should say those who want to be a kind of an interactive part of the show. In the past, and hopefully in the future, we've had a phone line that actually runs into the show where you can call up, complain, give news updates, engage in talent scout output. Not so much that, actually. But I'm really missing the phone line. And although I do phone interviews that I then record and play later, it's not quite the same thing as having it live on the air when you could actually carry on a discussion and a debate and get people reacting to what's going on in real time. And in order to do that, we need a studio, really. I suppose people can do podcasts, and someday I may learn how to do that. Who knows? The day may be closer than I imagine. But I'm pretty hidebound and lazy in my ways, so I don't know. But the studio that I had mentioned in the last couple of shows that we thought we had found, we still have an option to get it. But the problem is we've just learned there's no electricity there. So we're going to have to work on, Tesla's radio power or some other, the power of the human spirit. In any case, we can't really get into that mystical hinterland at this time. So we need someplace with a power source. And that being the case, we're still, looking, although there's a chance the folks that we are actually had a nearly binding deal with, and they were actually surprised to learn that they, too, could not have access to power there. So that may be changed soon. But in the event that it isn't, I suspect there's still a $500 reward for those of you eager money seekers who, and also radio lovers who want to have the radio show with a phone line in and a wider variety of broadcaster hosts and a more certain future, because free radio, I've always thought, is on the edge of going under because we have very few broadcasters and people don't want to do a show if they can't be in a studio. So Well, some of us do, but many do not. So you might make $500 if you find us a place with electricity, 10 by 10, Wi-Fi, doesn't have to be color television, no hot tub required, no bar and so forth, but just a small space. It can even be outside, provided it has access to electricity, Wi-Fi, and a bathroom somewhere. I mean, it can be within walking distance, doesn't have to be in the same structure. If you find anything that you think might meet those dimensions, give a call to either to me at 423-HUFF, 423-4833, or go to the freakradio.org website. I am definitely not necessarily the go-to person for free radio, but I'm trying to get folks who hear this keeping their eyes open for that possibility, because I think it would really significantly improve the variety on free radio generally, and also it would beef up my show as well. So, there you go. The financial offer seems to be as likely it's open again. Now, I wasn't able to attend the last Free Radio Collective meeting fully, so I can't really guarantee that. But I think that it's likely. So, take a chance, find a good spot for us, maybe make some money. It's a possibility. So while I'm trolling around trying to make some phone contacts, up in San Francisco with the Coalition on Homelessness, which is a group that puts out the Street Sheet. That's a newspaper that we don't see much around here. It comes out twice a month. It's similar to the monthly Street Spirit newspaper that comes out of the East Bay and that is distributed here. I distribute it. I give it to a couple of homeless folks to distribute. It's available for any homeless or low-income person to distribute and sell as they wish. And you can find copies of it at the Sub Rosa. That's Street Spirit. But Street Sheet is, frankly, I like Street Sheet better these days because they're always into hard-hitting political analysis and critique of what's going on the streets of San Francisco. And there's some of that in Street Spirit. Street Spirit's more religiously oriented. It's also oriented now toward this new youth group. It does have some pieces locally, one from Steve Plaich, often is usually a monthly piece by him, which, well, as regular listeners may know, my confidence in Steve's homeless activities has waned over the years, but I'm still in touch with him. Who knows? We may have an interview with him on this show. And the writing he does for Street Spirit is interesting. You can find it also often on Santa Cruz Indie Media and on his own website. But it seems to me like Steve's stuff is a sort of it plays second fiddle to his running for directorships and supervisor and city council and things of that sort, which I'm always wary of. Whenever I interview a candidate for a city council, I always say, what are you going to do when you get defeated? What's your next move? As far as our issues go, the issues around civil rights for poor people, police abuse, access to government generally, or accountability in bureaucratic position, accountability in power, whether it's government or corporate power here in Santa Cruz. And the answers I get are not usually terribly reassuring. It's all about winning this election and so forth. In any case, Street Sheet is a newspaper that has been doing some coverage of Laura's Law, which is the statewide law that essentially cracks down on so-called mental illness. That is to say, people who are considered to be acting out, people who are considered to be uncomfortably vocal in public spaces. I mean, the old criteria for whether you can lock someone up on what's called a 5150, which is a hold him for 72 hours in a psych ward, is danger to self, danger to others, or gravely disabled. One of those three conditions have to be met. That has changed recently in some counties in California under what's called Laura's Law, which was passed 16 years ago by the state legislature, but it was somewhat ameliorated by requiring there'd be a lot of additional assistance at the same time, and that didn't really come through for years. But then it did with the millionaire tax, And San Francisco passed its version of Laura's Law, or okayed Laura's Law. Previously, only a few counties had done so. Laura's Law is a big favorite of people who are fans of chemical treatments for so-called mental illness problems. I'm not myself, of course. And I've talked about that on the air, and I had interviews with folks like So, not having been able to contact the Coalition on Homelessness and talk to Jennifer Friedenbach, I'm going to keep trying. But I'm going to turn now to an article by Jack Bragan, who is a writer for Berkeley Daily Planet and also the Street Spirit newspaper that I regularly push and hope to make available again later this week, or at least next week, at the Sub Rosa Cafe. If you go up to 703 Pacific, you can get a copy. You can also take a bundle of copies and sell them on the streets for, enough money to have Denny's let you stay there for 20 minutes or however much they're allowing these days. I'm not sure what their toleration level is. In any case, this is called Laura's Law Turns a Psychiatric Diagnosis into a Crime. Laura's Law criminalizes mental illness and is spreading like a cancer across California, county by county. Those labeled non-compliant can be subjected to forced medication and court-ordered involuntary treatment. In essence, they become captives of the criminal justice system, even though they have committed no offense. Laura's Law, the state legislation that enables the court system and county employees to force involuntary treatment, including forced medication on people with mental health diagnoses, is spreading like a cancer. Since the passage of Proposition 63, the Mental Health Services Act, in 2004, the implementation of Laura's Law has been approved in Contra Costa County, the city and county of San Francisco, Los Angeles County, Nevada County, Orange County, San Diego County, Placer County, and Yolo County in California. And this is 2 years old, this article. And I've been trying to keep a watch on what's going on in Santa Cruz County through activists who keep a closer watch on the board of stupid vipers, or supervisors, as I call them, than I do. But so far as I know, I keep getting reassured by Sylvia, my watcher on the mental health front, someone I rely on, that isn't at least immediately in the cards. Those who promote this atrocity have discovered, that's Laura's Law, have discovered a way of spreading it by sweetening it with Proposition 63 funds, money originally intended to go toward mental health consumer groups, patients' rights, and self-help nonprofits. Laura's Law provides for dealing with those with mental illness via the criminal courts in the absence of a mentally ill person having committed any offense. The presumption is that because you are mentally ill, you are about to go out and commit crimes, and since you are a threat to society, you must be protected from yourself. Proponents of Laura's Law claim that they are preventing crime and helping mentally ill people get treatment they need. However, this law provides for court-ordered involuntary treatment in cases in which a mentally ill person has done nothing wrong other than possibly not taking psychiatric medication. The stated premise is that the mentally ill person, due to the disease, lacks the insight that they are ill. While this premise may be accurate some of the time, Laura's Law is a bad piece of legislation, and it was written in a space of hate toward mentally ill people. This law was originally introduced as Assembly Bill 1421 and was passed by the California legislature in 2002, which I mentioned before. It provides for court-ordered, involuntary, outpatient mental health treatment handled by county governments. The law is written such that county supervisors of various counties must approve the usage of the law's provisions. Funding from Big Pharma. It is vastly supported by the National Alliance on Mental Illness, NAMI, a nationwide advocacy group that receives the majority of its funding from pharmaceutical companies because desperate parents have been brainwashed into believing it is a solution to problems of non-compliance of their offspring. Although many persons with mental illness need more help than they are getting, Laura's Law is not the solution. Furthermore, some people stand to gain a lot of profit from the usage of this law. It will sell a lot of medication. It is a cost-cutting tool for cash-strapped counties with supervisors who are not inclined to adequately fund good mental health treatment, although I'm not quite sure what that would involve. This law is also seen as a way of targeting people who have been considered nuisances but who aren't necessarily harming anyone. You know, like people who sit next to buildings on the street or shout at you or hang out in neighborhoods and make upper-middle-class people feel guilty or uncomfortable, you know, park their vehicles nearby, that sort of thing. That's my addition to this story here. Although I am a compliant medication-taking mental health consumer, writes Jack Brigham, my emotional response to the spread of Laura's law is mostly that of fear, but also I feel outraged. I believe that this law will prevent persons with mental illness from making a good lasting recovery. For those of us who will likely need to take medications for the rest of our lives, Laura's law, because it uses force, disrupts an essential learning curve. When force is used, resentment is produced. We have seen this time and time again throughout our human history. Force is bad in the present and past, and force will continue to be bad in the future. When force is used on people with chronic mental illness, it doesn't give us the chance to sort things out and to learn from our own mistakes. Crime against the human spirit. For those who could possibly get past their illness and create a recovery not dependent upon taking meds, the forced treatment of Laura's law is an appalling crime against the human spirit. Many who have read what I have written may realize that my perspective is dichotomous. I believe that mental illnesses are acute, are actual, biologically caused conditions and should be treated. However, I disagree with that myself. However, I also believe that there is a tremendous amount of unnecessary cruelty in the mental health treatment systems. I also believe that it is far better to teach by example rather than to try to force people to see it your way. This is why, while I believe mental illnesses require treatment, Laura's law is a grave mistake. Over the years, I have been medicated, and I believe that this has helped me. However, I realize that this is not everyone's ideal path. There are some who would be better off weathering their mental illness rather than having medication forced on them. Moreover, for them, the treatment is